Educators, how often do the questions you ask truly spark curiosity in your students? And what if the way you ask a question could be the difference between a disengaged kid and a student fully immersed in your learning process? And what if your questions aren't just about checking for understanding, but about building critical thinkers in your classroom? You're in luck, because today, that's what we're all about, questioning your questioning abilities. Welcome back to the Traveling Principal Show, where we navigate the journey of education one adventure at a time. I'm your host, Joe Colossi, and today we're diving into one of the most essential tools in a teacher's toolbox, questions. We're also going to take a look at some of the questions that I was asked online on some fun education topics. So without further ado, here we go. Also, I have a sponsor for today's show. We are sponsored by The Flu. If you happen to get the flu or get your hands on the flu, it's terrible. I would bulk up on vitamin C, D, B, and whatever else you can. And remember, we are back at a time in the world where people cough at restaurants without covering their mouths.
Hooray!
The flu. All right, we're having a little fun there, but how we ask questions and what kinds we ask and how intentional we are with them can make or break engagement and comprehension in the classroom. And so questions guide your learning. They spark your curiosity. They push students to think critically. But are we really making the most of your questions in your classrooms? Today, we'll explore the art of questioning. We'll talk about how questions impact student engagement, why focus questions are your absolute best friend. And I know if you're a listener, if you watched the show in the past, you know it's not the first time I've said that. And the difference between open-ended and closed-ended questions is crucial for you to comprehend. I'll also take you through some of the most common types of questions teachers use. We'll take a look at the depth of knowledge framework and how it can guide your questioning strategy. And that should bring us through to the questions that I've gotten online. So let's get right into it, you guys. I'm excited for today. Okay, so we're not really reinventing the wheel here with questioning, so I'm gonna kind of go fast. You might wanna play me on a slow play, because I'm hearing that people are playing me on a slower play, whereas a lot of podcasts are speeding up, and so this is one of those. So first up, let's talk about how questioning can significantly impact engagement and comprehension. As teachers, we've all been there. The lesson is underway, but you start losing students' attention. Let's call it a Friday afternoon. This is where questioning becomes more than just your information. It's a tool to hook your students back in. Kind of like those questions I asked at the beginning of the podcast, right? I put those there so you would want to listen to the rest of the show. If you tuned out and you didn't listen to it, those questions actually still did their job. Strategic questioning keeps students focused and invested. Imagine you're in a math class, and instead of saying, "Here's the formula," you could ask, "How would you solve this problem if you didn't know the formula?" Instantly, you're creating, for math, but quote unquote, curiosity. Questions like this open the door for critical thinking and exploration, making students feel like active participants in that learning process and not just passive recipients to being told what the information is. It's not just about asking more questions as well, you guys, but it's about the right kinds of questions. And this leads directly into comprehension. Questions help assess understanding at multiple levels, right? Whether you're checking for basic recall or diving into higher order, right? And so this is why we're going to talk about DOK in a bit. But the key is to layer your questioning, right? So it's a bit of a lasagna. Starting simple and progressively asking more complex ones to guide the learning journey and make that lasagna taste better. Here's a quick tip. Don't be afraid of silence. Give your students wait time. Time to think before answering, especially with higher order questions. That extra pause can lead to a much more deeper response and help quieter students feel more confident to participate, because people aren't yelling them out and then all of a sudden you get distracted and you can't think of it super fast. So trust me, it's usually something that we learn as we go. But for newer teachers, this is a tough one, right? I still struggle with awkward silence when I'm leading. specific mentor groups, et cetera, and professional developments, I'll ask a question and then boom, I give the answer. That is not the purpose of a question, right? I'm asking you or the group a question, the listener a question. And so to give adequate time for that response is crucial. Okay, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I've talked about it quite a bit, but using focus or aim questions to guide your lessons are the smartest way. You could teach any lesson, but now that we've talked about how questioning improves engagement, let's talk about how you can structure your lesson around a focus or an aim question. These are guided questions that give your lesson a purpose, a North Star for both you and your students. Okay, think of it like that. A strong focus question sets the tone for an entire lesson or a unit. So take, for example, a history class where the lesson is on the impact of geography on ancient civilizations. Cool. Instead of diving straight into the content, you could start with a question like, how does geography influence culture? Or you could take a look at a map from back in the day and think like, where did cultures begin? Right? Where did early settlements begin? These questions frame everything that follows, right? And it encourages students to think critically as they learn more and as they return to that question with deeper insight, they continuously go back to it. So the beauty of focus questions is that flexibility within the learning, because they are open-ended questions, right? Which we're going to talk about next, but you can refer back to them at different stages of your mini lesson or at your application part of your lesson or when you're doing your share out or again, even at the end. But by the end of that lesson, the student should be able to answer that focus question, but also understand why that question was relevant for them to learn in the first place. And that's what a key to aim or focus questions are. So yes, they are open-ended questions. And when you're planning your next lesson, think about the central question that you want your students to be able to answer by the end, but keep them anchored to that question throughout and see how this helps structure both your teaching, but also how your students connect that learning process to why they need to know that information. Okay, you guys, let's dive into open-ended versus closed-ended questions really quickly. The difference here between the two, because each have a place in the classroom, but it's crucial to understand when and how to use them effectively. And so closed-ended questions are straightforward. They typically require a specific answer, could be a one word or a short phrase. For example, did you finish your homework? Or what's 6 times 7? These questions are great for like quick checks for understanding or managing transitions. But if they're like overused, they can limit deeper thinking and discussion and also give you false pretense with regards to the level of comprehension that your students may have. Now, open-ended questions, on the other hand, invite a little bit more of a thoughtful response. These are questions that spark a conversation. For example, instead of asking, did you finish your homework? You could ask, how did you approach your homework assignment last night? That simple shift opens the door for the student to reflect on that learning process. And I do ask that question to my kids. I don't want that one word response like, how was school today? Good. You know, what did you do in school today that was different from yesterday? Right, I get a whole different response. And so a balanced mix of both types is important. Closed-ended questions can keep the flow of a class moving efficiently, but open-ended questions are where the real magic happens. And so they invite students to make connections, justify their thinking, and explore new ideas. So what are the types of questions that teachers ask? Let's take a look. You have your recall or factual type questions. What is the capital of France? These are great, really quick, one word. Confirming foundational knowledge, right? We have analytical type questions, which require students to go a little deeper, asking them to explain or justify something a little further. For example, like, why did you think the main character acted that way? Very simple. These kinds of questions help students dig into their reasoning and foster a little bit of critical thinking, analytical questions. The third kind is your application type question, which pushes students to apply what they've learned to new situations. So for example, how can we use this equation to solve real-world problems? Almost like an aim question, right? Or a focus question. This type of questioning encourages students to connect classroom learning to real-world scenarios, right? Application type questions. And so I highly recommend within the application type questions, you get to that. That could be a perfect aim or focus question, but it is a goal to try to get to that before. Maybe it could be an excellent exit strategy. But to wrap up the section on questioning, I definitely want to dive quickly into the DOK, the depth of knowledge, right? Because you have your level one, which is recall and reproduction. These are simple questions like, what's the definition of osmosis? Level two revolves around skills and concepts. And at this level, students use learned skills to explain or demonstrate something like explain why osmosis is important for cells, right? Level three, strategic thinking. These questions require students to reason or plan, such as compare osmosis and diffusion in plant cells. Okay, so more than one source. And then level four is extended thinking. These questions require in-depth, multi-step problem solving. For example, design an experiment to test the effects of light on osmosis, right? And so your depth of knowledge is pretty great. I'll put the chart in here. If you are teaching anything, you can ask a couple of level one, a level two, a level three, and end with a level four, and you probably are able to say whether or not the students comprehended the question at hand that day. The DOK I've used so much, I actually had a picture of it on my phone while I was a teacher. All right, you guys, so I want to take a second and pivot from questioning to the questions that are being asked of me online or that I've been finding online and I've been addressing. And a very interesting one was somebody asked me to explain the difference between what a vice principal position is and a director of special education and evaluate both positions with regards to which one that I felt like was a job that this person could apply for as like a better of the two. Really tough. Definitely dove into the benefits of being a director of special education, but also the litigious, stressful, and consistently underfunded scenarios that fall on the heels of the director of SPED. In addition, we spoke about a vice principal position, how they are kind of a dime a dozen, good ones, not so much, and usually keep those jobs. But also, because they're not in such demand, it's also due to the fact that that's a hard position. You know, your name is not on the letterhead in the vice principal's role, and so you're usually doing all the grunt work. You're behind the scenes constantly. I remember as being a VP or an APO, I basically did everything that the principal asked and allowed the principal the ability to show up and you know, and shine. And that was the job. And the better that the principal looked, the better that I felt like I did that job and I wasn't looking for recognition. And so there's a big difference there. Both of those two positions were pretty fun to dive into. I had gotten another question that I wanted to share really quickly here. Here it is, okay. So I did have somebody talk about master schedules. And when we're talking about master scheduling, holy moly, please do not do this by yourself. Learned that the hard way, had a school of 400, definitely was doing master scheduling on my own. I did have to get a programmer that eventually came in. What my suggestion was to establish a committee. I will say math and science are usually your strongest. And so I had a math teacher that just ate this stuff up and everything was like, Joe, look at this spreadsheet. Let's take it off from here, or what if we did things this way? But really what it also did was it invested the staff into the program or the master schedule itself, allowed them to put in their two cents, and that really resounded on a school level because everybody had a little bit of buy-in to something that was, you know, a fundamental to the functioning system of our school, like the order of classes, and when they taught and what they taught. So a couple of good questions I was asked online. You can find me at Travel Principal all over the place. Okay, you guys, there we've had it. Flu and all, I made it through. I think I lost like 15 pounds in this episode. We've explored how intentional questioning can transform your classroom from improving engagement to deepening comprehension. I mean, I really can't stress that enough. We also talked about how the power of focus questions, the balance of open-ended versus closed-ended questions could impact your lessons, and how the DOK framework help structure your questions for maximum impact. I cannot stress that DOK enough. Before I wrap up, I want to encourage you all to reflect on your own questioning strategies. This is an often overlooked skill, right? So try something new in your next lesson. Maybe it's adding more open-ended questions or integrating a focused question that guides the entire class. Socratic seminars are an excellent way to practice your questions if you're ruling out different mini lessons, and you're trying to roll out information in a different way. But don't forget to give your students that crucial wait time. As always, I'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences. Drop a comment on the website or connect with me on social media. I'm available all over the place. Until next time, this is Joe Clausy, the traveling principal, signing off, saying, keep your questionings coming, you guys.